This morning, I want to speak about our passion for God. And something, I think it's something that sometimes we just lack that little bit of passion, don't we? And I know it's when a person comes to know Jesus, when a person surrenders their life to Christ, it's the most exciting, wonderful thing that happens. And as we know, and we get pretty excited when we see someone come to know Jesus in a personal way and they say, yeah, I've made Jesus Lord of my life. And that's just a wonderful thing. And that's always on our hearts, isn't it? To see people come to know Jesus, to see people come to Christ and be a part of God's wondrous kingdom. And as people do that, we want them to grow, don't we? It's not just a matter of coming to know Christ and say, oh, I've made that decision, that's good. And it is good, but we want people to grow. It's that, you know, the seed's been sown in their life. And we want that seed to take root and to grow and to multiply as the scriptures. And we've heard it spoken many times about the seed grows, doesn't it? And that was the theme of the national conference that we attended in Adelaide the week before last. And they had a great and wonderful opening on the night there. And it was about this farmer, and he had his young son there. And the young son said, oh, Dad, why do you plant the seed? And so the farmer went on to explain why we plant the seed. But it was a message-based theme. But, you know, it's about sowing the seed, isn't it? And what am I saying? We want that seed to grow, don't we? To multiply, to have a real reaching out effect and expanding as it grows and develops. But and so that happens in most Christians' life. They get excited and they just want to do more for God, serve God more, have a real passion for God. They usually want to see their friends saved and want others to come to know that joy and say, well, I've mucked up my life, or I put it off for so long, and I just want people to come to know Jesus in that way and have this joy that I've now got. And so we need to have that on our hearts. But I just feel that in every believer, you know, there's something just waiting to be unleashed, something to, you know, really open up and to be used for the glory of God and for his eternal kingdom. And so I just really believe that, you know, there's something in every one of you people that you haven't opened up, that you haven't released to God. We sang that wonderful song, I Surrender All. And that's what it's about, giving everything back to God and just releasing this whatever's locked up inside. And if you've been sitting on something, well, get off it and let it go and release it to God. You know, to belong to God is to belong to his heart. You know, that's a real feeling, isn't it? To belong to God, you know, we're part of God's heart, because God's heart is for us, isn't it? God's heart is toward us, and we need to just have that feeling. So, as I said, God's just waiting for every one of us just to rise up and take ourselves to another level where we can be used more effectively for God. And that's what God wants in all of our lives. So, as I just said also, if you're sitting on a gift, an unused gift, then it's time you made a move, you know. God wants you to release that, to stir up that gift that is with you and start being a partaker. You know, it's not a time to be a spectator, is it? There's times we sit and watch, yes, but there's times we've got to get in and really dig the dirt and get things moving in the kingdom of God. And so I say to everyone here this morning, if you've responded to the call of Jesus to leave everything and to follow him, then there's a voice crying out in every one of us, fight for the heart of God. Fight for the heart of God. That's a cry that should be with us all, that we fight for the heart of God, for fight for the kingdom, to see the kingdom, God's kingdom, grow in every way. To, you know, to claim we believe, it's just not enough, is it? We can say we believe, we do that, but we've got to be more than that. We've got to do more than that. Because the call of Jesus is one that demands action. You know, we just have to do something about it. And we know that when Jesus began his public ministry, a simple invitation was, come follow me. What could have been more simple? What could have been more simple? And in his closing words in Matthew, he just said, go and tell. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We respond to the call and then we go and tell of everything about what God's done in my life. So the command of Christ is to go, to move on, to take the next step forward, because there's a banner to be carried, and that's the banner of Jesus Christ on our hearts, isn't it? On our lives. And it's about ever onward, going forward all the time. And the invitation of Jesus, a revolutionary call to fight for the heart of humanity, because God wants our hearts. Amen? God wants our hearts. And so we see there the youth theme tonight, all come along there and be a part of this great night. But, you know, it's God's people. We're called to an unconventional war, using only the weapons we have. What are our weapons? Faith, hope, and love. Those three things, our faith in God, our hope in God, and our love from God. And as we go about our way and we share these things, share about our faith, share about the hope that we have in God and his eternal purposes, and about the love of God, you know, the kingdom will grow. If we will just take that step and stand and speak the way that God wants us to reach out. And so there is a war. And so nevertheless, this war is no less dangerous than any other war that was ever fought. And for those who embrace the cause of Christ, the cost to participate in the mission of God is nothing less than everything we have and everything we have to be. Nothing less than everything we are. God doesn't want any less, and he wants us to be all that we have, all that we have to be. There is a battle, isn't there? And the battle, a victory to be won. And it's not going to be won, or it won't happen, if we're not prepared to get into that battle zone and to scatter the enemy. Amen? Where there's a prayer, mighty presence of the enemy, and it just needs scattered and stumped on and spat upon and everything else, just to get rid of him, and they're just creating an awful presence in the world today. So we do that, and we just need to scatter there. We need that passion to really get in there. And we see that as people, if we get an attitude like this, we see that people like this, you know, they live their lives with every step and moving forward, and with every fiber fighting of their being, fighting for the heart of the King, King Jesus. Amen? And that's the whole part. Some passion just people just oozes out of them, doesn't it? You know, the passion of God that's within them. They're alive. They're on fire. You know, they get a little bit excited, more than excited. And that's a feel we all need to be a lot more like that. And I'm sure you can relate and know people such as this with that awesome passion in reaching and testifying. And they have a powerful witness. So it's something that has to transpire deep within us. The urgency, a passionate plea with the message of, come follow me. That's the message we have to take. Come follow me. We have to use the Jesus method, didn't we? Jesus didn't hold back. He said, just come follow me. We know as he just went down the streets of Jerusalem or wherever it was, and he said, come follow me. Hey, Matthew, Andrew, Peter, he challenged them all, leave your fishing boats, come follow me. And they did, and they did. And so so we see that, you know, that they heeded that call. And people like this are passionate followers of Jesus Christ. They didn't hesitate, and it became a real part of their life. And so we see there that the simplicity of the gospel call. And I say this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, then you are called to fight for your heart, for the heart of your King. It's life fueled by passion, a passion for God and a passion for people. You know, the two things go work to hand together. We have to have a passion for God, and when we have that passion for God, we can develop a passion for people, a love for people, and that's what it's all about. We've got to love people more. We've got to have it in our hearts that overlook one another's faults and all that type of thing. See the best in every person and not see the worst. Don't hold grudges and all that type of thing. But we just need to be passionate followers of Christ, passionate people. And again, in God's word, the psalmist tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of our heart. But Brother Michael prayed that this morning about to delight, the having that delight in our life. And we just need to be like that, to delight ourselves, and he will give us the desires of our heart. If you look at some people, you think they're baptized in lemon juice. We've been baptized in the Spirit of the living God, amen? And we need to be show the delight of the Lord. You know, what Scripture say? Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad, for this is a day. This is a day to what? To rejoice. So that's why the Lord says, to delight yourself in me. Delight. And he says, as you do that, as you love me, as you just enjoy my presence, you're going to get excited. Good things are going to happen. And he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. As you seek me, as you look to me, as you come before me, he says, I'm going to pour out all my blessing upon you. So we need to cultivate this desire and to make it happen. It's not about religion, is it? It's about God's desire for us to rise up and for us not to settle for mediocrity, because the Lord wants what? Our best, doesn't he? And so it shouldn't be a hard thing for any of us to give our best for God. It may not be much. We're not all great and mighty powerful people. We are in God, yes, but physically we're all different. But whatever we have, whatever abilities, we can use them for God's glory and be great in his sight. Amen? But coming back to this, Jesus, as he spoke, and he just didn't back away from the battle, as we know. He went right to the front. And there was a victory to be won at the cross and an enemy defeated. And we see that through God's great grace, love and grace, you know, that he allowed that to happen. And so what we've seen there on the cross, Jesus began a revolution to secure our freedom. This is one of the mightiest revolutions that ever took place. And Jesus, in doing this, he is a part of this new covenant that he made with. He established it. And this new covenant had put its trust not in the law, but in the transforming power of God's living Spirit within us. Amen? Amen. So we just need to take heed of that, you know, it's a transforming power. God changes people, doesn't he? And when as we come to know him in such a wonderful way, you know, lives are changed. And that the revolution of the human heart, that's what happens. It just fuels the life and the vitality of this movement, of this great revolution. And the word says that we would delight in God and he would give us the desire of our hearts. When we put ourselves, as I said, just to enjoy the presence of God, great things will transpire within us. You know, with our hearts burning for God, when we fuel that fire within us, you know, stir it up, then we could move forward with the passion that should be burning within us. You know, as we allow God's desire, there's going to be a greater passion. Your life will be stirred up and you will have that desire. I want to go out and serve God more. I want to do great things. But sadly, I think far too often we lose the simplicity of our early faith. We lose that early love. We lose that early desire, all that eagerness we had. I want to save the world. When we first got saved, you know, the flame starts to dim, doesn't it? It's like, you know, turning down the in a lantern, turning down the wick, and, you know, it gets a little bit dull. And that's why the Apostle John, he in his letter in the Revelations, the church is there of... In that region, and John just had to write that letter, and he said, you know, you've lost your love, and just there, and he just reminded them about, you know, how they'd lost their desire and passion in the things of God, and they were slipping backwards and letting things come into their life to take them away from the things of Christ. And so we're there. We see here in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered with me without quitting. And here is the key verse. But I have a complaint against you. And that's sad, isn't it? Would you like God to say, I have a complaint against you? No. None of us like that. We don't like having the finger put upon us. But here the Apostle John says, you don't love each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Now that would be a tragedy to have that really pointed out to us that, hey, you're flat. You've lost the flame's gone out. And it says here, look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. That's God's heart, isn't it? Not to let the flame grow dim. Just to keep work doing the things that God wants you to do. The things that were burning in your heart when you first became a believer. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Because Jesus started that revolution, that war. And don't want it to be there. Hearts burning for God. Fuel that fire that is within us. Let us move forward with passion. Burning within us. And even in the Old Testament, God's command to Israel was simply, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And he says, these commandments I give to you today are to be upon your heart. God wants that embossed in our hearts, as it says there, to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let it be upon your hearts. Have it there. Let it be embossed. And what this amounts to is giving everything. We sang that song, I surrender all. Give everything. Giving everything. All, our entire all to God and nothing less. As I said, God doesn't want the least of what we got. He wants the best. Amen? Amen. And so if we're not prepared to do this, then we are robbing God of what rightfully belongs to him. None of us want to rob God, do we? Amen? I'm sure you don't do it intentionally, but we do. We all fail sometimes in different areas and just allow things to come into our lives and to just that time and place where God just doesn't get rightfully what belongs to him. And so as we've seen... there when Jesus put out that challenge to people. He said, come follow me. And as we know, Jesus Christ never lied about the danger or the cost associated with following him. When he said, come follow me, it was a dangerous invitation. A dangerous invitation. Because Jesus offered us a call to live in this world as citizens of an entirely different kingdom. Not everyone's the same, are they? Not everyone walks around the way believers should or do. It's a different world out there, isn't it? It's a different kingdom. It's a kingdom that totally opposes God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus was right out front there with the disciples, and he put it very bluntly when he said, come follow me. But here in 10:16, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. You're going to get devoured. You're going to get devoured. Jesus didn't mess with words. He said, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. When you go out there, they're going to want you. They're going to collar you. They're going to grab you. They're going to scrag you. So be very careful. Be shrewd. Use a little bit of common sense. Be wise and innocent as a dove. But Jesus, he made it very clear to them, didn't he? And the disciples weren't under any misapprehension of what it was all about. You're going into a world out there that's not going to like you. They're not going to like the message you bring because they don't want it God's way. We see it's an entirely different kingdom, an entirely different kingdom. And that's why Jesus made it clear to be wise and to watch. And so Jesus, he made it clear to those who were choosing, who were choosing to be his disciples. And he made it clear of what kind of leader he was. And he also made it clear that they had of what kind of followers would be required. You know, when Jesus said, come follow me, it was about giving all. What we see about the rich young ruler, he just wanted to buy his way in. But Jesus said, no, if you're not prepared to give all that away, don't follow me. No place in my kingdom. There's no room. Another one said, I want to go back to my family. Jesus said, leave them. Leave them. Come follow me. And so it's about giving up. It's about sacrifice, isn't it? When we beg, God wants us to do this kind of thing. And he reminded them of the consequences of taking up the cross to follow him. Giving up everything. About leaving all behind to follow him. And in those times, being a disciple was one of the occupation where you're likely to lose your life. And we've seen that John the Baptist, he lost his head. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. Stephen was stoned to death, and so on it went. You know, nearly all the martyrs, the apostles, they were killed for their faith. And even today, you know, so many people today in some of these other countries, they lose their lives daily. And we hardly hear a thing about it. You know, the world just doesn't want to know. And I don't think a lot of Christianity wants to know because it gets at our conscience a bit, doesn't it? Why are these people dying? Why are we so lucky? Because we're not speaking out enough. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason, is we just lack that passion, the desire. But in some of these countries that don't have it, who aren't as well off as we are, you know, they use the little they have and they're on fire with it. And to see the kingdom, and so they, sadly, they get martyred for their faith. But Jesus, as he spoke to the disciples, we see in Luke's gospel there, and he said to them, this here portion in Luke's gospel chapter 9, it was Peter's declaration about Jesus, and in verse 20 it says, then he asked him them, Who do you say I am? And Peter replied and said, you are the Messiah sent from God. And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about this. And he said, for I, the Son of Man, must suffer many terrible things. He said, I will be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. I will be killed, but 3 days later, I will be raised from the dead. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. Like I said, Jesus made it very clear that if we're not prepared to give our all, you're wasting the time. We're wasting our time. He says, if you try to keep life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. Amen? There's the promise of God. We might find it hard. We might find it very uncomfortable. You might think that's hard. How can I do that? But the word says, give all. I surrender all. And what Jesus was asking of his followers, he has the same requirement of us. That is total surrender to the cause, total sacrifice of oneself, and for the sake of the kingdom of God. And as we see through scriptures, love and sacrifice were inseparable to the disciples. And it's no different now than it is for us today. Love and sacrifice, we cannot separate them, can we? Because they are all a part of what God requires of us. It's God's way. It's the Christian way. The Christian way is about love expressed through sacrifice and servanthood, isn't it? You know, if we're not prepared to sacrifice something for God, if we're not prepared to serve God, that's just not God's way. And God wants it to just to apply these things in the godly way. And as we know, these are the qualities and the hallmark of a healthy Christian life. And as we see this, as we do this, if we're not doing these things, how can grace be outworked? How can we outwork grace in our lives if we're not sacrificing, loving, serving, doing all these types of things? Well, grace is not going to be expressed, is it? And so God wants us to do all these things in our life, do that. So we just need to look to God in everything. But what we need to remember is it's all about the call upon our lives, following and serving. And what that means, it means no matter what, no matter where, and no matter when. You know, if you hear the call, what do? You follow the call. It's simple as that, isn't it? If you hear the call, heed the call, and follow the call. We must recognize that it is a life and death proposition. You know, we've heard that many times, you know. You can go one way or the other. One way leads to death, the other is to eternity. And so we just need to be in God's will and doing his things. And when we do this, when we understand what Jesus means when he says that you must follow him, you finally realize that this is not just a cattle call. You're not out in the paddock saying, come on. It's not like that. God's calling to our hearts. Our hearts, the hearts of people. And that should be on all of our, the cry that we have. You know, we want to have a heartfelt cry to people. Something that they're really, it's going to touch them. With a hope, and so it just needs to be that way. But we do that. But He's not calling you to the same life which everyone else will live, is he? We're all different. He's not even calling you to the same path every follower of Christ will walk, because your life is unique before God. You are you. And your path is yours and yours alone. I can't walk it for you, and neither can anyone else. And you can't walk my path, because God's chosen a different path, a different way for every one of us. And whatever way of that is, we've got to walk in that. We've got to follow that. We've got to heed what God's telling to use that gift, whatever it may be. And so we see that God will choose to lead you. And how God chooses to use your life, it cannot be predicted by how God has worked in lives of others before you. It doesn't work like that. You can't live someone else's faith. You can't live someone else's belief, can you? It's got to be yours. It's got to be cemented in your heart that to be your person, your man, woman, a child, person for God, and to there, because God's spoken to you. God hasn't spoken to me for you in that way. Of course, he's spoken to me to speak to you, but what am I saying? I can't live your life, can I? And you can't live mine. That's what I was trying to say. You know, you get the message from God for yourself. God speaks to you and shows you. But so we see there, you know, that God wants us all, and he wants us to live out our faith, live out that the word that he's spoken into our lives, and to heed the call of what he's placed upon us. But the original call of Jesus, that first call, it was so clear, so clean, and so simple. Follow me. And he wants us to surrender all, surrender our lives to him and follow him into the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And we don't know just to that exact place where God's leading us. But if that means a life of suffering, hardships and disappointments, then you won't be disappointed, because your life will be worth it, because God is able. Amen? God is able to take us above any situation or circumstance, and God won't us to allow any to suffer any more than we're able. Amen? But as I said, it will be worth it, because following Jesus Christ is more powerful and it's more fulfilling than living in a world without him. Amen. I'm sure you'd all agree to that, that having Jesus Christ in your life, and nothing could be more worse, I feel, of not having Jesus in your life and living in a world without him. But as we see, and I said that being a disciple has a real call upon our lives. And so I ask the question, how many of us could stand in the place of John the Baptist, at that very place, at that crucible where God is asking, are you willing to lose everything on my behalf to gain everything I desire for you? Are we willing? Are we willing just to lose a few things in life? To give that bit extra to God. To give that bit extra for Christ. To gain that desire that God has for us. Or I ask, or rather than living a long life, are you willing to live a life worth living? Are you willing to live a life worth living? Is it worth living for Christ? Amen. Amen. If you choose to live a life this way, if you make this decision to live a life for others, if you choose to follow the one whose barbarian path led him to the brutality of the cross, and if you embrace his invitation to take up your cross and follow him then this new way of life has already begun. Amen? It's begun. If you can say yes, I choose to live this way of life. I've made this decision to live a life for others and not for myself. I want to follow the path of Jesus Christ, even if it means ending up in a sticky mess. It'll still be worth it. And if you've embraced this invitation to take up the cross and to follow him in this way, praise the God. Praise the Lord. Because when you've done this, inside us, as I started off saying, you know, there's something just wanting to rise up. And when we unleash this raw, untamed faith as we come to know Christ, as Jesus gets into our life, and God starts stirring us up and unleashing us out onto that pathway that God has chosen for you. That's when your passion stirs. That's when your heart rises. That's when your faith rises. That's when you can look ahead and just see that what God's going to do and say, yes, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So church today, I say to us all, let your passion for God rise up. Let your passion rise up. Let the urgency to reach out be greater. Let your heart's desire become even stronger, even stronger. And today, let us all dare to make a difference, to be a part of the mightier kingdom of this Jesus revolution. Amen.